It's Christmas time in Moscow, and Rocky is adamantly refusing to die for America. And Christmas, I guess. Our barely holiday-themed holiday special is Rocky IV, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with an Inuit baby and an Inuit dog whose dad keeps singing at a dead astronaut. It's Camila Adams.
Gravity.
I went pretty specific. And Robin Hitchcock.
I hate space. So, Camila, you are joining us, a new woman.
Fresh out of the Foxy Brown lair, if one could say.
You bet, Pam Grier.
Yes.
Tell me everything.
Went to Steel City Con on Friday, and Pam D. Grier was there. And I went to her Q&A, her panel. And I'm a little disappointed by how people, every question somebody asked her was about her working with someone else.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
No question was, hey, Pam, what did you do? How did you, and what did you, where did you?
She's carried like every movie that
right.
she did.
Like,
so.
What was it like working with Quentin Tarantino? What was it like working with blah, blah, blah? You know, and it's all like none of their questions passed the Bechdel test. and it pissed me off.
That should.
But luckily, like she did come in and just kind of like, you know what? I'm going to give a spiel kind of thing.
Yeah.
And kind of like we learned about her from her for the first like few minutes there. And then I went to her table to get an autograph and she was fabulous. Like her whole fucking, like the Q&A was wonderful.
She looks incredible.
She looks great. Not as tall as I thought she was.
And then I was going to say the other thing I was surprised by in that photo of the two of you.
Right.
And I know you're quite tall.
Yes.
But I was like, okay, short.
Right. But then I like, you know, I like Googled her, like how tall is Pam Grier? 5'8". Yeah. Like it's never been.
That's how tall I am.
Yeah, it's never been a thing. I just, for whatever reason, I just assumed she was like 6 foot.
Yeah.
And, but she's not. But she was like, I, you know, thanked her for being like one of the first like strong black females that I have seen on film.
I love
and
that
just
for
that
you.
And she's like it's because of you, you know, it's good, you know, I am you or something like that. And she was like, look how tall you are. She was like, you can beat me up. So Pam Grier said
I could
like beat. Wait, I gotta get the camera running and say that again.
Exactly. Pam Grier said I could beat her up.
Legend.
And I also had a nice little t-shirt on that said Pam with her silhouette on it. And she was like, hey. So it was everything I wanted, you know, and she hugged me and it, yeah,
oh
it was
my
fabulous.
Gosh. I'm so happy for
it
you.
It was fabulous. It was outstanding. And also like Giancarlo Esposito also met him. And I don't say this about a lot of people, but that fucker was undressed, was eye fucking me.
Ooh.
I don't say that lightly. I don't think that I am all of that or anything, but I
sounds
know.
Sounds like you kind of are.
You know when it happens.
I recognize that. So
he looked you up and down and said, you know what? You could beat up Pam Grier. Yeah. Our all over the field feelings about space led a 64 for Oscar darling Gravity, exactly the same as Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, just below Footloose. That's what everyone said when Gravity came out. This is almost as good a movie as Footloose.
Oh, wow. I can't believe that.
I loved Footloose.
Yeah, I remember enjoying Footloose more than that.
I might have sank Footloose.
I honestly think you guys were both mid on it, and I inflated it.
I mean, the music's good.
I definitely enjoyed
the
it more than
Gravity. The good. Kevin Bacon's tiny female dance double was great. That's Gravity. And as much as, again, I gave it an 88, having seen it, watched it for an Oscars campaign, voted for it at the time, now watch it for the podcast, even I'm like, well, I don't need to ever look at that again. She's up there. She's floating around. She may or may not die. Splash. Movie. That's, you know. What I would watch pretty much any time, though, is Rocky IV. And we'll get into whether or not this is like a good movie.
Certainly not.
But what a thing to look at this movie is.
Hmm.
Okay. I guess I'm just really like, I'm just slanted more towards, I just love a boxing movie.
Boxing movies are great.
They're so much better than boxing.
We literally have said these words before on this podcast when we talked about Rocky III, which even Camila could not remember the exact
circumstances. Remind me how this happened.
So this is how this happened, because I just listened to that part of the episode. This was one of our first episodes. Like, it was like within the first 15, 20 episodes, and I waffled on vetoing Ant-Man. Because I think we had like recently done a Marvel, and I was just kind of like, what is there to say? And then I was like, you know what? It could get a lot worse. I'm going to save my veto. Mm. And then Sean was like, let's just see what it would have been. And it was Rocky III. And we all agreed, like, okay, well, let's just watch Rocky.
Let's just have a good time.
Gotcha. All right.
And so we have talked about this franchise before.
Okay.
But we didn't rate it.
That's correct.
I might have done facts.
You did.
Oh.
You did a lightning round of facts.
Okay.
Some of which I bet you're about to
repeat.
Right.
But I want to know everyone's history. I have no, like, I'm not one way or the other about the Rocky movies. I've seen several of them. I generally think that the Creeds are better than the Rockies.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
They've been more consistently good, is my understanding.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a time thing.
Yeah.
Either. Like, just, I mean, in 85. This one, like, I mean, what can you, wasn't, I mean, that's, I guess that was like the height of like, yeah, this is a great fucking movie in 1985, Rocky IV. But
yeah, but I've never disliked a Rocky movie, even kooky Rocky Balboa. I've never disliked a Rocky movie, but I don't know if I've ever been, I've never like committed to Rocky fandom.
Yeah.
Robin?
I really love the first movie.
Okay.
Like, I think that's a genuinely great movie. And then when we recorded our Rocky III episode, I also watched Rocky II because I wasn't sure if I'd ever seen it. Mm. Rocky II is not good.
I definitely haven't seen two or five.
Yeah. And I never saw five.
Five is terrible.
I was going to say five is like a really, really bad reputation. Yeah. And I never saw Rocky Balboa because I hate the kid in it.
Milo?
Yeah. Hate him. Sorry.
Oh my God.
It's, you know what? It's because I have never forgiven him for writing in Rory Gilmore's book. And I never will. You do not write in someone else's book.
That's true.
It's a true story.
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's true.
He was on Gilmore Girls.
There's only one Rory Gilmore that I'm aware of, so I connected that. But seems like something that would be true. You own a box set, Camila, so I assume.
But I'm not on the fandom. Like, I don't own any Rocky shirts or like paraphernalia or anything like that. But I do. I think Rocky falls under like some of my comfort movies.
Right.
So like, you know, if I'm just not doing anything or I'm just going to go to bed but can't really, like I'll throw on one of the Rocky movies.
And sure.
I don't even remember when I first saw a Rocky movie. It had to have been by accident as like in like junior high or something like that. But I think I gained a lot more respect for the franchise and for Sylvester Stallone, and it was probably not until like early adulthood when I realized he wrote and directed
them. Remember when I found out that he wrote Rocky,
right.
I was like, so wait, he's smart?
Right. Because, yeah. You know, it was just like, what?
Yeah.
And so, and that like, that ups the level for me and enjoying these films is like knowing that Sylvester Stallone is behind all of it and that, you know, he's like, He's really good at what he does. I don't know. I probably for the 50th time, I love a boxing movie.
Yeah.
It's because boxing is about character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? It is about overcoming your own personal weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So every person, even if they've never punched anyone, can relate to that.
Right. Yeah.
It's also the only sport that is both cinematically friendly and one-on-one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tennis is one-on-one, but you can't fit both people in the same shot.
Right.
Other combat sports are, but they're just mushed together. Yeah. You know?
And it's harder to watch, like, Ultimate Fighting because there's kicks and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you can always see the faces of the boxers.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There's grappling and MMA and, like, I was like, I don't even know where he went to.
Grappling in Rocky IV. I like,
they're really
at
throwing
that.
Each other around.
It's like he is fucking his world up.
Has anyone but me run up the stairs? I have run up.
I ran up the stairs before I had ever seen Rocky. I lived in Villanova, Pennsylvania when I was a little kid.
Okay.
And so like one field trip, it was like 98 or 8 year olds running up together.
Yeah. I've been to Philly once and I ran up the stairs. Probably worse than you and you. I don't even remember if I made it fully all the way up to the top.
It's like, a lot. It's of more stairs.
It's both more stairs than you think, and it's more stairs than it looks in the moment.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of those short ones.
Yeah,
yeah. Like you get halfway and you're like, huh?
Oh, this is bullshit.
More stairs, huh? I did it fairly recently and got the picture at the statue and the whenever it was. Was newly into the Ukraine war. So Rocky was holding a Ukrainian flag.
Huh.
And when I was watching this movie, I was like, well, he's remained politically consistent. He still does not care for Russian aggression.
We should do the recap because much that happens in this movie needs to be addressed heard to be believed.
Addressed immediately.
You know, because this is the serious geopolitical one. And also the one with the robot.
It's like, yeah, it's like, I was like, that took a strange turn last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it. Here to tell you, if you have missed Rocky IV, or if, like most people, you remember that Drago must break you and little else, here is Camila Adams with a recap of the events of this film. Go.
Rocky is feeling pretty happy and comfortable in life, but you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Drago is coming to town. The Russian nightmare arrives to fuck it all up because he wants to fight Rocky. The Soviet Union has entered the boxing chat. Missing the spotlight and at his big age, Apollo was all, I'll do it. Rocky tries to talk him out of it. They're old and retired. Then they won't let that shit go, but Apollo can't. So there's goodwill exhibition match, Apollo versus Drago. Sidebar, it's around the time Adonis is conceived. Apollo doing the most Creed spares no expense for the exhibition with dancers and giant smoking set pieces, bedazzled costumes, and James fucking Brown. He gets his ass handed to him in the first round. Rocky wants to stop the fight, but Apollo tells him he's cool. Drago literally knocks Apollo's soul from his body, killing him in the ring. So dumbass Rocky thinks it makes sense to agree to fight Drago in Russia on Christmas. Rocky goes to Russia to train in nature. Drago is training in a lab. They fight. It's not looking good for Rock, but whose name is in the movie title? Drago thought this was going to be easy, but Rocky holds on for 13 rounds and wins.
Just under. I thought you weren't going to make it, and then I realized, like, oh yeah, nothing happens at the end of this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty much Rocky, we fight forever.
Rocky,
the
maybe
Cold War ends.
Rocky ends the Cold War.
We could all change.
The Russian guys, like the military Russian guys, based on their uniforms, slow clapping.
Yeah.
Slow standing ovationing.
Right.
I lost it. I could not stop laughing.
The main one is in the movie because he looks like Gorbachev and continued to do that, including being a guy who looks like Gorbachev in Naked Gun.
Amazing.
A few years later. Let's get this out of the way. Whoops. Not a Christmas movie. This cannot be defined as a Christmas movie.
The main action occurs on Christmas Day.
That is it. We get Christmas Day. And a Christmas tree in the background. That's it.
I'm usually so generous with my sure that's a Christmas movie. But
me too.
Christmas has to be integral to the movement of the plot in some way. And this is the definition of incidental to the plot.
Yes.
Yeah. It happens to be on Christmas and no one really makes a big deal about it.
Yes,
that.
I agree.
And I'm confused as to why. Like I feel like
it is part of the extensive propaganda in this movie. It's like, do they know it's Christmas time at all in sad Soviet Russia? There's no time for celebration. It's all bread lines.
Yeah, when did that song come out?
Gotta be around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 84. One of my big regrets in life, when I lived in Cape Town, if I had had like a better cell phone to take video with, I really wanted to just confront people on the street and be like, do you know it's Christmas time?
Follow-up question, have you played Sun City? No. Rocky IV, not a Christmas movie, but a Thanksgiving release. It was released Thanksgiving Day of 1985. This is widely credited as the movie that started big movies come out on Thanksgiving.
That
was
cool.
Mostly abandoned before then.
Thanksgiving is the perfect movie weekend because you need to get away from your family.
Know, even right? Thanksgiving night, especially if you have a family that eats at 3, like
it's like, okay, now what?
Like I you saw Birdman on Thanksgiving.
You eat and you have your nap and then like you're awake again because you just slept it off. So like those 8:30, 9 o'clock shows starting 38 years ago in
I'm 39, man.
Yeah, no, this is one of my actually birth
I want to
films.
Talk about that if we can, if I can interrupt facts.
Please.
I feel like I am just old enough to remember the Cold War. And I was curious
born
if
in
I'm
the summer of 84.
Yeah, I am 9 months older than you.
Yes.
Do those 9 months make a difference?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because like I had serious anxiety about Russia bombing us, like, which is such a ridiculous thing for a 6-year-old to have or like 5-year-old to have. But like I did.
No, like my first memory, like my first like awareness of a geopolitical bad guy is Saddam. Like,
okay, yep. I think these 9 months make a difference.
Yeah.
And also I have older siblings.
Yeah.
Sibling. And so that always makes you a little bit more aware of things.
And I'm the oldest. When did the wall go down?
89, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
And I remember that. And I remember my mom trying to explain to me how big a deal it was.
Yeah, no. Missed out on all that.
My first political memory is Michael Dukakis in a tank.
Camila, your first political memory?
One thing that pops up is when I was first aware of what a president was and seeing Jimmy Carter on television, I think. I was really,
he
really
was president
young.
When you were young.
Yeah, yeah. I was really, really young. So that's maybe like one of the first things I remember. But
I'm feeding the right wing trolls here. My true first memory is thinking that I liked George H.W. Bush because he's the first president I was aware of. Like he got elected when I was 3,
right?
And expressing that to my parents and having my parents correct me. But in fact, I no, did
sir.
Not.
No, sir. That is not how it goes. But yeah, I don't know. Like a lot of it just like really just blurs together.
Yeah.
Honestly, I remember a lot of America's Most Wanted playing on my TV. Our big concerns were child abduction in my household, apparently.
Fair.
I mean, I don't remember the Cold War because Rocky ended it only a few months after I was born. The 18th number one movie of that year. Over the holiday 5-day, it made $31.7 million. That set a lot of records at the time. It was the biggest non-summer weekend to date. It was the widest release to date.
Wow.
At 2,232 screens. At the time, it was the highest grossing part 4 in any series.
Yeah.
And it was the highest grossing sports movie until The Blind Side 24 years later.
Oh my goodness.
No.
Wow.
No sports movie.
And The Blind Side being it too.
Yeah, like, I know. Has something eclipsed The Blind Side since?
Oh yeah.
I think so.
I hope so.
Probably Creed 3 made more
it
than
had to have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of the Creeds had to have knocked it out.
God, I hope so.
Also the final number one movie of the year, this one 6 straight weekends.
Wow.
Going into 1986, holding off movies including Spies Like Us, Young Sherlock Holmes, The Jewel of the Nile, Clue, Out of Africa, and The Color Purple all failed to knock Rocky out. Total of $127.8 million, the third highest grossing film of the year, and the second highest grossing Sylvester Stallone film of the year. Back to the Future was number one, Rambo First Blood Part 2 was number 2. He was very popular.
Yeah,
he was.
At the time. This is the second highest grossing Rocky movie behind only Creed 3. Inflation pushes all of Rocky 1 through 4 ahead of all of the Creeds. The Creeds are mediocre moneymakers. Camila has a question?
Yes.
She has her hand raised.
It looks like as of right now, the highest grossing sports movie of all time is Cars.
Oh, come on.
I mean.
No. False.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, Blindside is still number 2. But like.
Yeah, no. Cars is a sports movie the way this is a Christmas movie.
Wow.
Not.
Wow.
The way Toy Story is a Western. Is Toy Story a Western? Never mind. With inflation, the first four Rockies are gigantic.
Right.
The original would be at more than $630 million. But in pure dollars, Creed 3 is number 1 and Rocky 4 is number 2. Not, however, well received at the time. The Rotten Tomatoes score for Rocky 4 is 38%.
Ooh, that's brutal. Yeah. It,
this won 5 Razzies. And I know the Razzies. I know the Razzies are bullshit, but I'm still shocked that, like, this was universally. It won Worst Actor. It won Worst Director. Come it won on. Worst Supporting Actress. It was nominated for Worst Picture, which it lost to First Blood Part 2.
So they just hated Sly.
I think yeah. they hated okay. Stallone.
What a bunch of fuckers.
I mean, they're all.
The Razzies exist yeah. to make fun of women and gay people. Mm. And apparently and, Sylvester Stallone.
Right. Well, and just like weekly punch. They're a late night monologue turned into an award show. They're just punching at pop culture targets.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not there's any point. That said, it is surprising to me that this was awkwardly thought of enough that they felt like they could beat up on it at the time.
Well, right. this is the thing about this movie. I had such a great time watching this, but it's not good. Like, it is a we'll series of montages with loose connective tissue.
The montages are a little, that brought the score down a little.
Didn't put this in here because you can't, I question the numbers, but at one point I saw that 31% of this film is montages.
That really sounds and
more than half if you start counting at the midway point.
Oh, yes.
It's a full-on music video at one point.
Yes.
It is a full music
and
video.
And then they play that song again, and I'm like, we get it.
Got it. Thanks, Survivor.
Well, then you might want to watch the other version of this movie. Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago, the ultimate director's cut, was released November 11th, 2021 in a one-night theatrical event before going digital. The fights are extended. The funeral is extended. Some stylistic changes were made, but it's only 2 minutes longer because he cut as much as he put back in, including all of the goofy stuff. The robot does not appear in the director's
cut. The robot's great.
I like that the robot has the arc from normal robot to robot lover that Polly likes to nagging robot lover. Yeah. Like, that's a good bit of movement for the robot.
And Polly kind of sucks.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So giving him the goofiest subplot is really the best possible use of him. Okay, sorry, I keep interrupting the facts.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to know, how did Russians feel about this movie?
Not great.
Yeah, because I remember at one point when I lived in Cape Town talking to one of my older friends, like, what was it like when Lethal Weapon 2 came out? And he's like, I got really beat up outside the movie theater. People were not happy.
Oh my God. Wow.
So I was like, how do they feel about this? And I was reading answers to a Quora about it. And first of all, it couldn't get there until after the Cold War.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like, and it was like some people watched pirated copies and like, but they were, you know, this is back when pirating was holding a camcorder in a movie theater. Right. Like, it's bad news. But everybody was like, it's mostly funny to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the reaction was like, we don't act like this. Yes. We don't even look like this.
Right. They're very upset about casting a Swedish and Danish person as the main couple.
Oh, that's
The Russian couples. Yeah. So, but most of them were like, it's just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, yay.
It is. It is just silly. I have more facts. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
No, it's a good conversation. They did too much real punching in this one. Carl Weathers quit the movie for 4 days because...
Wait. They were actually punching
There's a lot of actual punching in this one. The first problem was that Dolph threw Carl Weathers across the ring for real, and he walked off and quit for 4 days.
Good for him.
Until
good for him.
Stallone convinced him to come back reluctantly, and then got his. Stallone's heart was injured.
What?
Because they were just punching each other.
This Drago is a fucking beast.
And he was in intensive care for 4 days.
What?
That would have been rap. That's a wrap. Like, we in production. Sorry, y'all. We're going to end it Rocky 3.
And this man is still alive. Can you believe that?
Also, he's the director. Why? If once it starts going wrong, that's when you're like, Dolph, stop hitting people.
No, they wanted. They wanted the sounds. They wanted the actual impact.
That's why God invented Foley artists.
Right? Yeah. Like that dude is too big.
Yes.
And too real to be doing this. Like,
and
stop it.
So hot.
Oh my God.
I cannot deal with my crush on Dolph Lundgren because it's not just the way he looks. Like, the fact that he dated Grace Jones
tells
me a lot about
everything I need to know.
What kind of man he is. And also, he's super smart. Like, he was on a Fulbright scholarship.
Yeah.
Which, that's how they met. Like, that's incredible.
It's that moment in the ring where he's taunting Rocky and he's like, you know, like pointing to his stomach, hit me, come on, hit me. And I'm just like, hey, it's him.
Yeah.
I do not have a crush in this movie. I'm sorry.
Not my, even Bridget Nielsen?
I'm, I mean, she's that was just a, good, a little a good too sleek. She's just a little too...
That is the best way to describe her, yeah. Sleek.
I thought this movie was made later than 1985, so when I was watching it, I was like, are they in Russia? I guess they could be in Russia. They are very much not in Russia.
Yes.
When they appear to be in Russia, they are in Wyoming.
Okay, also...
The mountain is in the Grand Tetons.
Could this even be allowed? Like,
I don't
would
know.
Russians really be like, American hero, come to our soil? Would the U.S. government be okay with it? All of this seems really fake.
I think there are points in history where they could have, but this is not one of those. Yeah. Hey, in case you forgot, Drago does come back in Creed 2.
Yep.
He has a son.
They all have sons.
Generally had a bad time after the events of Rocky 4.
Even Brigitte comes back.
Comes back momentarily, trains a son for a fight with Adonis. Guess who wins?
No, I haven't seen all of Creed 2, we were saying before we started recording, because it was one of those movies which I kept putting on, getting distracted, and being like, no, I have to watch this with respect. And then because I never saw Creed 2, I never saw Creed 3. I'm going to fix these things.
Yeah, technically, you can go right from Rocky 4 to Creed and then just like, you can like cut out like 5 and
I also,
Balboa,
I now feel really curious about 5.
Have you seen Rocky Balboa?
No, because as discussed,
she hates
Milo Ventimiglia. In Rory's book.
Oh, that's the one that wrote in Rory's book.
Watch This Is Us. That would erase all of that because
I'd be so sad about him getting killed by a crockpot.
It's horrible. It's so sad. God, it's so sad.
Really, I know
beautiful.
Two things about This Is Us. One is that it's set in Pittsburgh, and two is that Milo gets killed by a crockpot.
There are old copies of Pittsburgh Magazine visible on set because it is set
beautiful.
In Pittsburgh in the past.
That's really cool.
Very old magazines. A word on the soundtrack, giant hit success soundtrack.
Fucking Survivor the whole way.
You know only one of them is Survivor?
Really?
All the others are just people that sound exactly like the guy from Survivor.
Winner.
And most of them are just names. Burning Heart is by Survivor. Eye of the Tiger comes back. Okay, there are two Survivor songs. But like Hearts on Fire is by John Cafferty.
Thought for sure that one was Survivor.
No Easy Way Out is by Robert Tepper. Like, it's just some other guys.
Probably just members of Survivor.
Every song that we are listing gets a montage.
Yeah. Living in America is from this movie. I did not know that.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
We have an expensive bauble? Because if that's an original song for a movie, I can't believe it didn't win or get nominated.
I had no idea.
That is from Rocky IV and was James Brown's last top 10 hit.
Wow. I love that
good
sequence
so
much.
It's
so
good. And Drago's face where he's like,
these people are so stupid.
Right.
He's like, I want to be outraged by this, but it's so dumb that I can only stare.
Right. He's like, don't even know where to begin. So as we talk about this, sidebar here, a while ago, I wrote 12 facts about the character Adonis Creed for Looper.
Please.
One of the things I mentioned was about Adonis's walkout music. Another reason why I love boxing, is the walkouts. Like, oh my god, the more cinematic, the better. But that got me down the rabbit hole as to when did it all start?
Yeah,
well, who was the first? Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
Really?
Yes, he walked out to the Star Wars theme. For his fight against Ernie Shavers in 1977. And after that, other boxers started to follow suit.
That's incredible.
The Star Wars theme. God bless him. So thank you.
I know. Once again, hero.
Yes.
I only know it in wrestling, and it's usually credited to the Junkyard Dog coming out to Another One Bites the Dust. Mm. But the one that made it a thing was Hulk Hogan coming out to Eye of the Tiger because he's in Rocky III. Never mind, not his song in Rocky III.
Right. No.
But there was just enough of an association.
Thunderlips.
For years.
So gross. I know. Why?
Living in America from this movie. Not the biggest hit. The biggest hit was Burning Heart, the Survivor song. Went to number 2.
Good grief.
No Easy Way Out was also a top 40 hit. And Something You Wouldn't Expect was written for this movie and rejected. The Glory of Love from Karate Kid Part 2.
Which was nominated.
Which
and
was
I think
nominated.
Maybe won?
It might have.
I'm not sure.
Just listening to that today.
That was
a great song.
Written for this. They didn't want it. It got kicked to
that
Karate Kid.
Wild.
Yeah. Who knew?
I don't think they rejected it because it's a bad song. I think they rejected it because...
This is not for the glory of love.
No.
It's very for...
Rocky and Adrian's relationship is never cooler. Like, cold. This is...
Yeah.
And I don't
blame her.
It's
warmer when she's dead.
No. Right? I don't blame her. I'd be so fucking pissed when he's like, bye, family. I'm going to Russia.
Right. On Christmas to fight this dude that murdered Apollo in the ring.
Let's talk about the murder of Apollo. First of all, the trailer.
Today, the Soviet Union has officially entered professional boxing.
This is not just an exhibition fight. This is us against them.
Drago is the most perfectly trained athlete ever.
He could have stopped the fight. He could have saved his best friend's life.
I'll never forget you, Apollo.
But now, the one thing he can't do is walk away.
Has the fight date been set yet?
December 25th.
Where?
It's in Russia.
Are you nuts?
He's had one professional fight, and one man is dead.
Tabibi, he's gonna have to kill me.
Why can't you change your thinking?
Because I'm a fighter.
You can't win!
I must break you.
Rocky IV.
You gave that away?
I didn't watch the trailer.
The trailer.
Yeah.
The
so
trailer
dumb.
Is like, he needs revenge against the man who murdered his best friend. I'm like, whoa, dip.
But, I mean, I kind of, like, otherwise, though, why are you going to see it?
Because there's a tall Russian that Rocky Balboa is going to fight. It sells itself.
I was going to say, like, all they needed to do was show those boxing gloves at the beginning of the USA boxing glove and the Soviet boxing glove, that would bring a lot of people to the theater.
Right. Dude, like the moment when Apollo and Drago are in the ring and Apollo is talking his mad shit and bouncing around all over the
and
place.
He's so great.
But also, and this, I mentioned that this is around the time that he would have been cheating on his wife and conceiving Adonis.
Right.
Maybe that's why he didn't win.
Guilt? What?
No, because don't they say you're not supposed to be fucking before a couple matches for boxing matches?
That's right. It's like in Raging Bull when he puts the ice bucket on his dick.
Right. Mm-hmm. One, two, he's like bouncing around like the entire time before everything even starts.
Yep.
Conserve your energy, friend.
Oh my God, but, you're so right.
Yeah. But also the look on his face when he goes to, he's like, put your dukes up, man. And he goes to hit his fists. And this, everything just shatters. His whole face, like, I have made a poor decision. When Drago's fists don't move, it's just everything inside.
Can we, as a people, forgive Rocky for not throwing in the towel? Because I think the answer is no.
No, I don't forgive him. Like, your friend would have been mad at you, but he would have been alive to be mad at you.
Yeah.
I don't care that he's saying don't do it. Like, Rocky is a professional boxer. He's watching the same fight we are.
Right.
He knows what's going on. And the guy saying don't throw in the towel is at best severely concussed.
Right. Yeah.
Like you throw in the fucking towel.
Yeah. It's like, can you tell me your name right now? Like, don't tell me.
He says he's seen three of them. Oh, no, is that Rocky,
that was Rocky
later? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hit the one in the middle. Yep. That was funny to me.
Apparently that's a quote from Life. Some
that's
boxer
great.
In the 20s or something. Oh, here's my overall take. First act, great. Third act, great.
Mm.
Middle,
I didn't know what to do.
Just there's
so many
nothing.
Montages.
Yeah, we just montage through because there's nothing going on. And like the idea that we're going to deal with this like horrible failure by Rocky by guess I gotta beat him now
right.
in Russia on Christmas is just there's no writing there. Like revenge is not enough of a motivation
right.
to get to that ending. When we get there, it's great, but the whole middle of this movie is just like, okay, hey, he's gonna lift really heavy things, watch that for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense because as much as he loves Adrian,
mm-hmm.
and then for him to make this decision and apparently announce it to the world before he even mentions it to her, like that seems really out of character.
That's when I start packing my bags.
Right. Yeah. And then like the little exchange that they have in the dark hallway for some random reason, it doesn't make sense. Like, he keeps talking about, you know, he's a fighter. I'm the fighter. This is the only way I know how to deal with things. And she's like, you can't win. Like, when Adrian is telling you, Rocky, that you can't win, you listen to that woman. She's tells you. I mean, yeah, you won, but still. Like, it was disrespectful to his whole family.
And, go ahead.
I think that revenge is motivation enough, but I think the movie should meaningfully explore that that impulse that Rocky has. Why does he have that impulse?
Right.
Right? What are the consequences of that impulse? Because in this film, the consequences are he wins and ends the Cold War. So it's like, oh, you made a good choice. Revenge worked out for you. Like, that's not great.
And when Adrian says you can't win, let's blend reality and fiction here a little bit. I believe that a boxer, Sylvester Stallone, could win a boxing match against Carl Weathers or Mr. T. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that he could beat Dolph Lundgren.
Are they even in the same weight class?
I can't imagine that they would be.
No. Drago would have to be rail thin because he's so much taller. That's part of why it's an exhibition.
Yeah.
Like, no one would sanction this.
Okay.
But, like, even if we ignore the fact that they established that Drago can punch through a wall all day long, this match would never get going because the reach is so different.
Right. Like, his span is just, like, crazy. Like, Rocky would have to, like, do so. Has to, like, do, like,
the,
running, like,
the little T-Rex punches.
He has to run so hard just to get to him while Drago is, like, across the ring and just, like, swinging.
And I don't feel like they justify that. They could have made him have some kind of special strategy, right? Yeah. Or, like, he discovers a weakness.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they just punch and punch and punch and refuse to die.
You just punch him until you can't punch no more.
Yes. So.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't want to be talking myself into giving this movie a low score because I had such a good time.
Oh, no, I'm giving it a high score.
Like, that, the fight between Drago and Rocky was amazing.
Yeah.
And I am, you know, it lasted a long time, but I'm okay with it.
Like, I was surprised how long it lasted.
Yeah. I really like the juxtaposition of the exhibition fight, you know, where Drago is in America and he's seeing all this, look, I'm a new America, blah, 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 da, 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 and all this, like, hoopla and da-da-da-da, and he's just like, and then we get to Russia, and then, you know, Rocky has a, you know, a very modest entrance, and then Drago is like, yeah, bitch, you are my turf now, and he comes out, and he's got the whole huge-ass poster of him, and they're all fucking saluting Drago.
I was distracted seeing the people were seated behind the poster. I'm just picturing me, they're like... My ticket didn't say anything about obstructed view.
How long is this going to be here?
1985. We have no TVs in the booth. No, I was confirming that Thunderlips and Ivan Drago are the same height.
Really?
Oh, and in Rocky III, it's shot like Rocky's a tiny little man stepping up to... Anyway. That said... I love it. What is there not to, you know, I mean, even when it's bad, it's just like, I can't believe we're still in a montage. Like, it's just so fun and watchable.
I should have looked this up, but I got questions about legality. Like, he literally murdered a man. Like, how are there no charges?
That is not a crime in a boxing match.
Really?
Nope.
If remember Con Air when it's like his fists are a lethal weapon. Yeah. Feel like that should also apply.
If you're in a sanctioned sport.
So I guess it's just waivers up the wazoo.
See, that's the thing. It's like we talk about how much we love boxing movies, and I truly do, but I think that boxing overall is like slightly evil.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally barbaric.
Yeah, it's barbaric, and also like there's a ton of organized crime behind fixing games and stuff, which like are matches. Yeah.
So I guess that's why we could enjoy this barbaric sport.
Because it's fake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey,
let me tell you about a thing called professional wrestling. It's a lot like this.
Why do people get so dressed up to go to boxing matches? That's another question I have about
life.
That's
a really good question.
It's such a random.
Genuinely never thought about that before. I wonder if it's to class up what is inherently not classy.
I think it's a night out. I mean, I think it's a very male, a very traditional, like, we're going out and we're getting drinks and we're going to the fights, you know.
Yeah. My grandmother told me that people used to get dressed up to go on airplanes as a sign of respect.
Yeah.
I was like, I wear pajamas.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get dressed up. I dress comfortably, but I will not wear pajamas on an airplane.
I will wear a blazer on a plane because you need more pockets. You need your you need your phone and your boarding pass and your stuff up here, not down here.
Male privilege.
Yeah. You can wear a blazer.
A smart blazer.
Yeah, but it's not going to have many pockets.
They'll be sewn. They'll be the fake pockets.
Yes, fake pockets.
Pocket lips as well is what we'll get.
I get so mad about it.
I would like to shout out, this is probably the best I've ever seen Sylvester Stallone look with the newsboy cap and the leather coat. Like that.
Love
is
the look.
That is a fabulous look for
that
him.
That hat is great. And also, I love that it was a gift from Apollo.
That's who, okay.
Yes, he's like, my friend Apollo gave it to me. So I love the idea of him being like, time to wear that hat everywhere I go.
Yeah. I guess never taking this off.
So,
oh, and there is a behind the scenes of the Drago and Rocky fight on Sylvester Stallone's YouTube channel. Hmm. It's about an hour and a half long.
Incredible.
I have not watched it, but it looks very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm flashing back now. There is a Rocky virtual reality game. Like, you can put on the headset and hold the little things and be... Oh, and I remember I played it at some virtual... I think in New York, I played it in some virtual reality place. And when it puts you in the ring against Rocky, you're like, okay, cool. And when it puts you in the ring against Adonis, you're like, oh, this is fun. And when it puts you in the ring against Drago, you're like, oh, fuck. Just staring up at him, his steely gaze. Dolph Lundgren is so great.
Yeah. He's awesome.
They did this... This Rocky holds a lot more tension than the previous Rockies because of Drago's fucking, like, cold, icy stare.
Yeah.
And the fact that, what, he has, like, what, four lines in the whole movie? Yeah,
he doesn't talk very much. And I also think that this, like, the last thing I need to say is, like, this is just a genuinely great piece of propaganda.
Like, the letterbox list.
Russia so fucking evil. Like, with one of the Dolph Lundgren's in a lab montages, it's like, Andy's on steroids.
Right, because they mentioned something about that at the press conference, and they're all looking at each other crazy, like, giving side eyes.
It's just such Russia as the evil empire, and... We would prefer living in America.
The letterbox list is, can propaganda be good art? Don't look at it as bad.
No.
But no, I wanted to bring that up. Is this straight up propaganda?
Yes,
like, is there any way we can justify, like, nobody cares, it's just easy to make the evil foreign villain and blah, 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 blah. Or is this like, Sylvester Stallone sat down and said, we need to end the Cold War.
It is that thing.
Yeah. I think
it is literally that thing. When I was looking up how do Russians feel about this, one of the things I came across was he was like, I feel like a lot of people missed that was an anti-war film. And I'm like, I think you missed how this is going to make people feel about Russia.
Also, I think most people didn't stick around for the last 5 minutes of the movie after you won the fight. Yeah. Like, that's you just kind of tacked that
and
on.
And then he's like, time to end the Cold War with a speech.
Which, I'm sorry, you're a little punchy. You just finished getting your teeth knocked down your throat. What was that? I can't understand what you're saying.
We can all change.
Who changed? Did you change in some way?
It's like, we're just here for see a boxing match, guy.
Here's the highest score I've ever given a bad movie. Because I truly felt like saying 70. And then I remembered that I had written down 8 bonus points for a full James Brown performance.
I also,
and
I
2
feel like-
bonus points for him going, Pittsburgh, PA!
Pittsburgh, PA! Pittsburgh, PA!
In that, so 80. I give it an 80. Robin?
I'm also pretty high. I'm going to go 72.
Okay.
Camila?
I'm giving it an 82.
Yeah, this is not the cinema, but boy, is it a movie.
It's so fun.
It's funsies.
78 overall score for Rocky IV. We didn't rate Rocky III, so we will have to draw more Rockies to see how that compares. But I'd be surprised, like probably a couple of the Creeds, we'd go higher.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But
Creed is such a
all three
such
Creeds
a good
I'm
movie.
I'm hitting in the 90s.
Okay. Like that, yeah.
It's all three of them.
And I just can't believe it. Like, I remember when they said they were making it, I was like, okay. And then saw it, I was like, never mind, I love it.
Take my money.
Yes.
We did a You Can't Handle the Truth on Creed, and I distinctly remember, like, 30-40 minutes in, me and Clive were looking at each other like, this is really good.
I love those moments.
Like, just shock. Like, we were here to, like, kind of like, oh, Rocky, fun, make fun of it. And so, oh, my God, it's working.
That was me and Colin with Top Gun Maverick. But it was just like, God damn it, this is really good.
Can't deny it. We don't have a bingo card yet. We're holding off on bingo until the new year. Yep. For now, what I'm sure will be a spirited You Can't Handle the Truth here in the holiday movie season. As we are. Well, Camila said so let's get out of the way. Camila, what do you watch?
I watched The Exorcist Believer, that remake or the new Exorcist movie.
Remakeful,
yes. Yeah. Blah. Boo. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. Like, it's not a good movie. It's not, I don't think it was well done. It wasn't, the script was kind of bullshit, but I enjoyed it.
You know.
As a horror film.
I'm so biased because I saw this on vacation 2 days after getting engaged. We did an Exorcist Believer photo opportunity beforehand where you turn it sideways and it looks like you're floating above the bed. So we were predisposed, but I kind of liked it, only in, I'm not looking for it to be The Exorcist, because The Exorcist is one of the greatest films ever made. Making an Exorcist movie 50 years later, I'm like, did some kids get possessed and some and some priests die? Good. I got my Exorcist stuff.
Check.
Yeah.
Ellen Burstyn's in it, right?
Yeah.
Ellen Burstyn's in it. Okay, so that bless makes, that's the only thing I'm interested in.
I almost feel like she's kind of wasted in it, though. Like, she's in there.
Oh, shame.
And even, I don't know. I guess it's still out. I don't want to do any spoilers.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'd
point out that she filmed it at 90. So some of it, she's 90 years old.
She's 90?
Some of that might have been like, listen, look, she I'm can't 90. Get out of the house that much. Anyway.
Good for her.
Yeah, right? Yeah. She is also on, she's a regular-ish on Law and Order Organized Crime. She's Elliot Stabler's mom.
Ooh.
Yes.
That must be a juicy role.
It is just spicy. Yeah. I love it.
Something bad happened to that guy.
Let's bring in Ellen Burstyn. I watched the Grinch from 2018. Better than I thought it was going to be, but
I don't remember it well. I kind of half watched it, but I learned
with
this
bend
week,
over, come and snatch.
Yeah, I learned this week that is the most successful Christmas movie of all time.
Oh,
that made like $550 million.
The 2018 version,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, on the upside, Kaj really loved it, and
yay,
the Mr. Grinch is now like her favorite Christmas song. Best Christmas ever with Brandy and Heather Graham on Netflix.
Oh my.
Boo!
I mean, I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I give a lot of leeway to like Christmas movies, like TV Christmas movies, yeah. Like, you know, those kind of things.
Do you like, you know, Hallmark movies?
Sometimes.
I
recognize them as what they are.
Yeah.
And some of them can be enjoyable.
Right.
Sure. This was not. This okay. was just, this was trash. I felt a little racist. And eww. I don't recommend it. And I feel bad for Brandy, but it was just awful. Thriller 40, the documentary on Thriller.
Oh.
Fabulous. It's on Showtime. Super fun. If you enjoy, I mean, all they do is talk about the making of Thriller album and, you know, everything that went around it, and which is, you know, just enjoyable. And Pain Hustlers.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Why?
I feel really, we've seen it.
Yeah. Like, how many of these movies do we need? There was nothing new. That it didn't bring anything new to the table.
And Dopesick is so good.
Yeah.
The series that, what was the, there was like something that Jennifer Lawrence was cast as, and then she was like, we don't need to make this anymore. Because someone else made it better. And she was like, all right, never mind.
Wasn't it the woman who was arrested that I'm just gonna fuck this up completely. I don't even remember, but like the girl who was in
about Amanda Seyfried in the limited series The Dropout.
Yes.
So yes, uh-huh. Exactly. She was like, all right, she did it as well as it can possibly be done. That's how I feel about Dopesick and all these other opioid movies.
Yes.
Why does Netflix wind up with so many movies that just don't quite come together? Why is that the defining trait of a Netflix original? Is like, you had all the elements, it just didn't quite work.
Didn't curl all the way over.
Yes.
I love that expression that I learned from you, and I think about it all the time.
The weird thing about Pain Hustlers is that the director is David Yates, who did the last four Harry Potter movies and all three Fantastic Beasts movies.
Really?
So for
there's three Fantastic Beasts movies.
So for 20 years, he's been stuck with these wands and wizards. And he finally gets
free.
He gets out for a minute, and he makes this middle-of-the-road shit?
That's like a shame. Yeah. That's too bad.
I think the answer to your general question is that Netflix exists to make shareholders money.
Yeah.
And not to create and share art with the world.
Although I haven't watched the one that everybody's talking about, the Julia Roberts thing.
I haven't watched it yet.
Leave the World Behind.
I also haven't watched it
yet.
I saw a clip. Yeah, that was it on my movies. But I saw a clip from that where she's like dancing to Too Close. Step back, you're dancing.
Oh, yeah. Close.
Makes me want to see it more.
That is a great song, and I always remember them playing it at like middle school dances and being like, okay,
inappropriate.
Relax.
Yeah.
But I do love that song.
That paved the way for playing the thong song at middle school dances 3 years later.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
don't talk about boners, I don't think.
Thong song?
Yeah. Do they?
I don't remember, but it's still a bop. I was very much an adult when that came out, so it was okay.
Remember so clearly when I was little, my dad saying, there are songs I hated when they were popular when I was in high school, and now I love hearing them because they just so much represent a time in my life. And, you know, 20 years after that, more than that, I think, I heard the thong song on the radio, was fully rocking out to it.
Right.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, my dad was right.
Yeah, it is, because I don't remember really liking it that much then, but it comes on now because I had a friend, shout out Aaron Brown, he would make fun of it, like tall, skinny white dude, and he would do the dance when it would come on. And so that's now, I think of that every time.
So I loved May December.
Yeah.
And I am really confused about it being nominated in the musical and comedy category of the Golden Globes.
Everybody is.
I did talk, my friend James Cotullo was like, I thought it was one of the funniest movies of the year. And like, he thinks it is a satire of the actorly process.
James is like that.
And do you know James?
Ish.
How? What? It's such a small Pittsburgh. We also have the same birthday. So anyway, I was entranced by it. Mm-hmm. It was one of those movies where like I just was so much in that world and the awkwardness of it, and I sometimes hate awkward movies, but I fucking loved this one. And I was also just really surprised how great Charles Melton is.
Yeah,
he's so good. I'm glad he got nominated for a Globe. I hope that he keeps that train moving forward. But yeah, loved it. And
it is really funny when she is trying to like commune with the room where the affair was consummated, and the guy looks nervous and is like, okay, but don't touch the bait.
Yes.
It's like, that's funny.
Right. There are jokes, right? And I agree, the last scene, I did not expect the last scene at all. I won't explain what happens, but when you see it, you'll be like, oh, wow, everything that was happening is a little different than I thought. So I did love that and laugh at it. I was kind of mid on the holdovers, though.
You gave it 4 stars.
Yeah, I know. If you read my review, I'm like, this is the meanest 4-star review I've ever given. Because, like, it is good, right? Yeah. I respect what is happening there.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of things that just didn't curl over for me. Mm. And one of them, and I feel really bad about this, is that our neighbor, what's his name?
Dominic Sessa,
yes,
I believe.
Is apparently young enough to be a CMU student, but dude looks 30.
I don't think
and
he
he's
looks 30.
Playing a high school student, and it distracted me for the entire movie. And I also,
he is real tall. Like, he's super tall and lanky. But
listen, I am surrounded by actual college students.
Right.
They look younger than him.
Yeah.
I also thought Divine Joy Randolph was great, but because she's gotten so much recognition for this, I was expecting a meatier role, and that's on me for being stupid. And then another movie I was kind of disappointed in was Joyride, and I thought it was so fucking funny, right?
I keep forgetting to watch that.
Then, Camila, I don't know if you should.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like, they get really into adoption shit.
Oh,
in a, like, dark way that I was like, this doesn't belong in this movie. Like, why? Because so much of the comedy is like fully detached from reality, like Barb and Star style. And like, then they're suddenly plummeting back to Earth.
Weird.
And it just didn't work for me. And it's a shame because the rest of it is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. Huh. Right. Like, so I don't know. You can also fast forward through the serious parts. Yeah, or watch clips of it. It might be one of those movies. And then I saw Saltburn.
Yeah. Loved it. It's trash. I love it. I love it. We've talked enough about elevated horror. Let's get into elevated trash. Let's start coming up with more Lifetime plots and just arting the fuck out of them.
Yeah. That movie is so weird. And I kept having moments of loving it. Mm-hmm. And I loved the last scene. The parts that I didn't love, I hated so much that I ultimately don't recommend that movie. Mm. But like, the big turn, I don't really want to spoil it, but there's only one character in the history of film who's ever gotten away with that, as far as I'm concerned, and his name is John. So I was kind of like, well, I hate this now. But I do also want to say that I feel like it's one of those movies that I can't stop thinking about. Mm-hmm. So like, I sort of put it in like
effective
Tar and Babylon category where I'm like, okay, I did not like this, but I also am really glad I watched it.
Right.
But then I also am like, other people don't need to watch this. So unless you like this kind of shit, right? If you like a weird fucking movie with a Lifetime plot and dick, this will be great for you. And also a lot of rich people are awful.
Yes. I mean, I do enjoy the rich people are awful plots.
Yeah.
They're so bad. What's that movie from a year ago where it's like this, only they turn into vampires? It's like that if they didn't turn into
Invitation?
Vampires. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that if the vampire thing didn't happen.
Weird.
If they just stayed rich and awful.
Ross Pike is great.
She's great. Barry Keoghan is great.
Yeah. Like, I kind of think he should get nominated.
Yeah.
He's such a strange bird.
Listen, sometimes, and also he really works in this role because he has to play different ages, and that man simultaneously looks 14 and 45.
Yeah.
So, great so casting. The one other thing I wanted to say is that, like, I kind of hate how film Twitter, for lack of a better word, because I don't use Twitter anymore, really talks about Emerald Fennell. Mm. Like, I read a ton of Letterboxd reviews of this because I couldn't stop thinking about it, and people are such, it is this thing where when a white woman especially does anything slightly objectionable, people are really excited to be like, she's the worst.
Mm.
So it's not just men who feel this way.
What's
like, I don't even know, honestly. I think that
she's getting Lena Dunham'd, in other words.
Yeah, well, Lena Dunham did some bad stuff.
She deserved it.
I think people didn't like, a lot of people didn't like Promising Young Woman because they felt like it trivialized sexual assault. And
really?
was too white feminist.
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't either. So, I mean, people are entitled
quite
to their own interpretation of these things, but I feel like people went from Promising Young Woman didn't work for me to Emerald Fennell is awful. Hmm. And I don't like that.
Hmm.
Even though I didn't like this movie.
But probably worth watching if you're up for some weird.
It's super weird.
It's super weird, but just
something to talk about at the Christmas dinner party.
Also, the hot guy, I don't know how to say his name, Jacob Elordi, is the...
Yeah.
He's so fucking hot. He's so hot. They did a great job.
Your periodic reminder that Barry Keoghan is also theoretically a currently active The Joker.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Aren't we all the Joker in theory?
Exactly.
It's a really confused cinematic universe over there.
That's what this movie is about. Okay.
Isn't it
kind of like The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently people are comparing. I haven't seen The Talented Mr.
Oh,
Ripley.
Oh, you should. It's great.
Yeah.
I did want one more thing. Mm. Roz Pike and Richard E. Grant. Phenomenal.
Oh, Richard E. Grant is great.
I mean, I love him in everything.
Yeah.
But God damn it. So good.
Production design. Mwah. Excellent.
In Saltburn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just worth looking at, this movie.
They make these people look super rich.
lightning round, because I saw so many things, because I just voted the other day. Current number one movie in America, The Boy and the Heron.
I know.
Miyazaki is on our list. Didn't see that coming.
I don't even know what that means.
like, you know.
You said that.
Studio Ghibli, My Neighbor Totoro, and Spirited Away, that guy.
Oh.
Animation great.
Don't worry about it. A lot of people are like, oh, that's just doing all of the stuff that he's ever done before.
I don't care.
I don't care. I thought especially as like an old man probably making his last movie, it was very, you know.
Yeah, but he said it's his last movie, like the last three movies.
I know.
Stop himself.
It felt very Death and What's on the Other Side.
Okay.
And very,
I mean, he's super old.
He's at least 80, if not more.
So.
And lots of, weird bird creatures, which I am all about weird bird creatures. Definitely see. I saw the subtitle version because I'm, you know, a snob. and apparently the English version is star studded. It's like
I heard that
Florence Pugh and Willem Dafoe and Christian Bale and Mark Hamill, like it's top to bottom.
I heard that the dub version is really well done. So I don't think anyone needs to feel bad about watching the dub version.
Yeah, watch whichever one you want. Anatomy of a Fall, the Palme d'Or winner, which is one of the three movies I gave a 10 out of 10 this year. That's really, really good. You need to be ready to watch a 2.5 hour movie that is mostly just watching a trial. Like, there are courtroom dramas, and there is the bulk of this thing is in the courtroom.
I kind of love courtroom dramas. Yeah. There's a reason I went to law school, people. or there's several horrible reasons, but I got a husband out of it. There was a really good foreign language film nominee a few years ago that was mostly a courtroom drama, and I was like, love this stuff.
Yeah. This is spoilery, so I guess just skip ahead 30 seconds. Just press the button once. The thing that's throwing people off is this is 2.5 hours, and it will not tell you. Here's the real what happened.
Oh, okay.
And that makes a lot of people mad, but I'm just like, grow up. Like,
one of my favorite movies of all time is Eve's Bayou. Yeah, so
right.
Yeah. I don't need to know what really happened.
It's fine. It'll be different outcome every time.
Yep.
And you can go to, they made a website that flashes at the beginning of the movie with no explanation. The first thing you see is didshedoit.com, so you can have the experience of going and voting.
Oh, nice.
I like it.
I'm in the minority and everyone is wrong. The movie that people kept like, oh, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go, was Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really good. That's like,
I keep hearing good things about
it. It's the best Godzilla movie. I don't know if that's necessarily a giant bar to clear. Because like they're mostly just kind of like, I liked when the Godzilla, and other than that. But
I think the first, well, the American version of the first one, I think is really good. And like, I think Raymond Burr is great in it.
This has a really great story. This is what everyone is saying. The human stuff is as interesting as the giant monster
which
stuff.
Is incredibly not true for a recent Godzilla movie.
Right. And the effects look great. It's really cool Godzilla action. And they made it for $15 million. And
love it.
Apparently, Bob Iger has already been like, this is a wake-up call. It's like, so when you spend $200 million on an Ant-Man, you just kind of are burning money in the air. Like, if you can do this for $15 million. And at one point,
what if you filmed on actual locations instead of your big giant room?
And then whoever directed Godzilla Minus One was like, I wish we had $15 million. It wasn't nearly that.
Oh, wow.
It's
holy shit.
Something to consider. It's so good. The score is so good. I never really digested that the Godzilla sound cue is better than the Jaws sound cue before.
Okay.
Yeah, go see it on a really big screen. I have had people say you have to see it in IMAX, and I know that's a frustrating thing to hear, but it feels right. All of Us Strangers is going to get some Stray Award nominations. If you like a long, thinky, feelings, vibes, sad movie, go see All of Us Strangers. The Color Purple is good. The performances are great. Danielle Brooks is great. Fantasia is great. Coleman Domingo is great. I just don't go in comparing, because the original is better.
This is a musical, right?
This is a musical, and I do, unfortunately, I'm sure that going to see the musical on the stage is a great experience. This is one of those cases where, like, just dropping a bunch of songs in the middle of the story doesn't help. Breaks the story up.
I'm really
a
excited
bit
about this movie based on the cast, but I truly don't understand how they made a musical out of The Color Purple.
Right.
And I was talking to my friend Montasia, who was in a production of it, and she's like, it doesn't really make sense. She's like, but the music is beautiful, is what she said.
I couldn't sing a song from it. Okay. Like, I've seen it recently, and I could not hum one of the tunes.
Can't hum one bar.
But it's still very good. Candy Cane Lane with Eddie Murphy, continue to not know that exists. He just likes making money every now and then, and this is one of those. Dream Scenario, the Nicolas Cage movie, where, do you know this premise?
I don't even.
He's a mild-mannered, schlubby professor, and then one day he just starts showing up in everyone's dreams all over the world. Starts dreaming about him, and it's the journey that he takes.
That sounds like the kind of screenplay that gets on the blacklist.
Yeah. He's great. It's majorly brought down by an unnecessary sexy scene. Which, like, I get that, like, if everyone's dreaming about you, some of those dreams are going to be sexy. But, like, it just stretches it out. It's just a drop of awkward in the middle of the thing. And finally, Poor Things. Number one movie of the year.
Listen.
Uh-huh.
I am hoping I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I've seen that trailer 5 million times.
Yeah.
And every single time I'm annoyed by it. So if I find this movie annoying for 1 minute, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
How am I going to feel? How long is it?
two and change.
Okay. Yep. So we'll see. I've liked his other movies very much. So, or the ones I've seen. I don't know how many he's made.
From the moment I loved it, I was like, I can hear Robin saying, of course this is your favorite movie.
And I literally just said that.
Right. But it is such a great modern Frankenstein because it doesn't like try to do Frankenstein the whole way. It just kind of launches there and then goes into a story. The cast is great, Emma Stone especially, and it's the movie that I want a lot of movies to be that end up disappointing me. Every, like, look how quirky I am. Look how weird my cinematography and production design is. Look how I'm adult fairy tailing. Those are usually like, oh, you almost made it. And this is the one where every scene I'm like, yes, oh, you're doing the quirky thing. Great. Awesome. I loved it so much. I watched it on a screener and cannot wait to go back and see it looking better a second time. So
cool.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Just waiting for those accusatory 3 stars to pop up on Robin's letterbox. That was a lot. Fortunately, we don't have to draw a movie. Robin, tell us why.
Because we had a movie draft,
mm-hmm.
and I finally lost.
Congratulations!
My intentions to lose worked. I think I am going to try to watch both of those movies just to have some fun.
You were going to anyway.
But yeah, I am what I am. So Camila's pick, Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story, is our next film.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God. That's what I voted for. I was really nervous about the Kingsman movie winning.
I voted for China Syndrome. Didn't get there.
I had a few people who I was like, hey, have you voted yet? Because I'm scared. And they all voted for my things. And I'm like, this is the opposite of what I want.
Just one. There's exactly one that I want you to vote for.
It was spread out. Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story, 34% of the vote. Kingsman, the Golden Circle, 30%. The China Syndrome, 20%, and Bob, Carol, Ted, Alice, 16%. So you lost all the way. Your two movies did worse than Camila's two movies. But Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story, the clear winner.
I'm so excited.
Right.
Who's in this?
I don't even know.
Who plays him?
Jason Scott Lee.
I don't know who that is.
Me either. Lauren Holly is also in it. Robert Wagner was the only
name
that I recognize.
Why would you say you chose this?
Because I don't know the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think that's a big part of why I'm so excited to see this. I just think Bruce Lee's super, super cool.
Yeah.
So why not watch a movie about him?
Yeah, I may have listened to like a podcast about something, some part of his life, or maybe his death. I don't know. But, and you know, we all know the Brandon Lee's tragedy.
Well, that will be the first thing you hear in 2024. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays, whatever you got. Weird number one song in America because this came out on Thanksgiving. It's like right in between two, so either one you get right is fine. We're at Thanksgiving 1985. What was the number one song in America?
Madonna.
Don't You Forget About Me.
Mm-mm.
Kylie Minogue.
No.
Janet Jackson. Oh, Michael Jackson.
Neither one of those. One of these songs I knew and one I did not. There's the song that was reigning as number one from November 27th, and then a new number one was declared on December 1st.
Lionel Richie?
No. One of these is... I don't know how to lead to either one of these. One of these is a band that used to be another band and...
Jefferson Starship.
Yes.
We built this city.
We built this city.
A song
from Mannequin.
I unironically love.
That
song.
That song's excellent.
Yes.
What, who do you, there was one of those like things going around TikTok that's like, if you know these songs, you have bad taste. And it's like, that was in there, and The Final Countdown, and Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And I'm like, I'm sorry you hate fun.
I was just going to say, okay, Gen Z person.
I know.
Yeah,
exactly. You're all listening to your mumble raps and your bedroom pops. Enjoy a song. I could tell you what the other one is, or you could cut it out.
No, that felt like an ending. That did feel like an ending, but I can also move it.
Well, the other one was Separate Lives by Phil Collins.
He was going to be our next guest. I wouldn't have gotten to that song.
I don't know that song at all.
There's a lot of Phil Collins songs Separate out there lives? That are on the radio. I worked in a dentist's office. There was a lot of Phil Collins going on.
Yeah, I bet.
Phil Collins is one of those celebrities that is always like Schrodinger's alive. Like if you told me that Phil Collins died 4 years ago, I'd be like, oh yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about Ryan O'Neill.
Oh, R.I.P.
Once again, Tony Goldwyn killed somebody. It seems
How
like
many
this
is
happens
that now?
So often that we watch a movie. Ryan O'Neill's obviously not in Gravity, but we talked about him last week.
Yeah.
Because the name Ryan and was popularized by Ryan O'Neill.
And part
and
of the
thus
reason,
is inappropriate for Sandra Bullock's character to
correct.
Name Ryan.
Correct. And anyway, and I also really, like 2 days after we posted the episode, I was like, wasn't there something I wanted to cut in? This is what it was.
Aunt Kathy was so rad. She lived in L.A. She was on Kojak. She doinked Ryan O'Neill once at a party. In America.